We're continuing the Shir on the Kutei Halachas, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchas Koyach, V'Harshoa, Halacha Gimel, Paragraph Vav. We said that this halacha is based on Torah Tes Vav in Likutei Moran. V'zeh Bechinas Bein Hamtzorim. Rav Nosson Zal says, based on what we've been learning till now, we'll be able to understand the new insight in the 3 weeks. Shemisablim al churban beis hamikdash, when we mourn especially over the destruction of the beis hamikdash, mishivosar betamuz ad tishabov. Ki ikar churban beis hamikdash hoyo al yidei pegam hamishpat, because the main reason for the destruction of the beis hamikdash was because of the fact that we did not behave properly regarding mishpat, regarding justice. K'moshe Kosov, as the Pasuk says in Amos chapter 5, Ha'hoifchem lelano mishpat. They turn the justice into a joke, into a laughing matter, Rachmona Litzlan. U'k'moshe Kosov b'psukim rabim. And as we find many psukim showing that this was the main problem at the time. U'k'moshe Rabbi Senuzal, and as the Gemara points out, Shechurben beis hamikdash hoyo al inu yadin val ivus hadin. That the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash was because of all kinds of injustice. The fact that trials were delayed improperly, unnecessarily, and all kinds of wrongdoings regarding justice. Ki Beis Hamikdash kolul mikol habechinos hanal hanemorim batoiranal. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to go on to show how the Beis Hamikdash represents every single important item that Rabbeinu Zal mentions over there in chapter 15 in Likutei Moran. Rabbeinu Zal says that when there's improper mishpat, it affects all of these things, 10 things. Rav Nosson Zal is going to show how all 10 are represented by the Beis Hamikdash. Number one, ki beis hamikdash shom ikar tikun hamishpat. The Beis Hamikdash is the place where the highest level of mishpat was supposed to take place. Kishom hoyso yosheves sanhedrei agdoila shemehem yoytzei mishpat tzedek l'chol hoylam, because it was in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Lishkas Hagozes, that there sat the supreme court of Klal Yisrael, the highest court, the court of 71 judges, who from whom was supposed to come forth justice for the entire world. Valideze oile hayira. And when there is the proper mishpat, then the yira is elevated. Shezeu b'chinas ha-beis hamikdash shenikra yira. And we know the Beis Hamikdash is called yira. K'moshe Kosov, as the Pasuk says, Vayikra Avraham shem hamokim ahu Hashem yira, asher yomer ki bahar Hashem yeroya. That Avraham Avinu called the Beis Hamikdash Yira. We know that the word Yerushalayim is made up of two words, Yira, Sholem. And the center, the most important point of Yerushalayim is the Beis Hamikdash. Ukemoy Shomar Yaakov, and as Yaakov Avinu, when he had his vision, when he slept at the site of the Beis Hamikdash, he said, Ma Noiro Hamokoim Hazeh, how awesome is this place. Noira is Miloshin Yira. Val Shem Zeh Nikra Yerushalayim. And it's for this reason that the city is named Yerushalayim, Bechinas Yira Sholem, because it represents perfection of Yira. K'moy Shom Rabbi Senuzal, as the Gemara says. And again, that was supposed to emanate from the Beis Hamikdash. Val Yidei HaYira Zoichin Ledas. And Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likutei Moran that through proper yira, one is zeichet tedas, shezeu b'chinas beis hamikdash. That's also what the Beis Hamikdash was all about. Ki kol mi sheyesh boi deya, ki ilu nivne beis hamikdash b'yamav. K'mo yisham Rabbi Senazal. The Gemara says, any person who has true das, it's as if the Beis Hamikdash were built in his time, because the Beis Hamikdash is a merkaz, a center for das. Validei hadas zoichin letorah shebeniglo. Rabbeinu Zal says there in Likutei Moran that when the das is proper, then a person is zoiche to the revealed Torah. Ki ikar his galus ha-Torah Hoyo beveis hamikdash. Because the main revelation of Torah was from the Beis Hamikdash, Shemishom Teitzei Torah. From there emanates the word of Hashem, the Torah, to all of Klal Yisrael. As the Pasuk says in Chumash Devarim, if there'll be any kind of a conflict, any kind of a disagreement, Bein Din Ledin, Bein Dom Ledom, Kemoshe Kosov, as the Pasuk says, Vekamto Vo'oliso El Amokoim, then wherever the people have the conflict, they will go up to the place. They'll go up to the Beis Hamikdash, and there they'll get the solution to their conflict. Al pi haTorah asher yarucha, based on the Torah which they will teach you, the Kohanim and the Sanhedrin. Val pi haMishpat asher yomer lecha tas, and based on the definition of justice that they will tell you, you'll follow that. So we see again that the Beis Hamikdash was the place from which the word of Hashem was revealed. Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say over there in chapter 15 that through the study of Torah Shebenigla properly, one is zoche to tefila b'shleimus. And that was also in the Beis Hamikdash. Sheshom ikar hatfila. That's the best place in the world for tefillah. Kamosha Kosov, as the Pasuk says, Ki Beisi Beis Tefillah. Hashem says, my house is a house of prayer. V'derech Shom Oilin Kol HaTefillos Asher Yispalalu El Habayis Hazeh. And it's via the Beis HaMikdash that all prayers that Jews daven all over the world, all of those prayers go first to the Beis HaMikdash, and from there they go up to heaven. Because the Gemara tells us that when a person is davening, he's supposed to focus, direct his tefillah towards the Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say over there, through proper tefillah, one is zoche to the hidden Torah, the secrets of Torah. Shezeu b'chinas Beis HaMikdash. That's also related to the Beis HaMikdash, Rav Nosson Zal says. B'chinas Kodesh, because the Beis HaMikdash is referred to as holy, Mikdash, holy. Shehu Sisrei Oraisa. And that's the term that's used to refer to secrets of Torah. Kama Shekosu Shom Ba'Torah Nal, Al HaPosuk, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in chapter 15 in Likud Imran, regarding the Pasuk Har Ze Konso Yeminoi, that this mountain was acquired by his right hand. Ayin Shom, look over there, how Rabbeinu Zal shows that that refers to the Beis HaMikdash and to secrets of Torah. Nimtzo, so Rabbeinu Zal says, we see therefore, Shebeis HaMikdash Hayokolul Mikol HaTikunim Anal, that the Beis HaMikdash was a composite of all the different tikkunim that Rabbeinu Zal lists in that chapter in Likut Imran, Mishpot, Yira, Das, Niglato, V'chol HaBechinoi Sanal, Kulam Tluyim BaMishpot. And Rabbeinu Zal said over there in Likut Imran that all of those different things are dependent on proper Mishpot. Sheboi Toloi HaKoil, everything depends on that. Kimavor Leil, as we explained earlier, She'ikar ha'haschola humi mishpat, that the main beginning, step one, is mishpat, judgment, justice. Hainu hisboidedus beinoi lebein koinoi. And this refers specifically to a person's personal judgment, a person auditing themselves on a daily basis, privately, between them and Hashem. Shaydeze oile hayira, that helps to elevate yira. Kinis batlin hayirois hanafulois, because that causes all the fallen fears, all the wrong kind of fears, to disappear. We had learned earlier that if a person has the proper respect for Hashem, the proper fear of Hashem, then Hashem doesn't force that person to be afraid of other things. But if a person doesn't have the proper fear of Hashem, and they don't audit themselves regularly, then Hashem gives them what to be afraid of. Hashem sends all kinds of messengers wild animals, financial insecurity, health problems, all kinds of different things that are referred to as yirois nefulois, where the yira kedosha, the holy yira, has fallen into these other things. And when the yira is in its proper place, when there is mishpat, when there's this hispoidus, and the yira is in its proper place, then the person is zoche to das and to all the other levels that are discussed in the Torah. V'alkein, al yidei shepogmu b'mishpat kanal, and therefore, during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when the Jews messed up in the area of mishpat, as we mentioned earlier, that brought about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Nizbatlu Kol HaBechino Yisanal, and all of those different things that are included in the Beis HaMikdash all went away, disappeared. Ki Nislabesh Hadin V'Hayira B'Malchus HaRisho Shel Bovel, because the Midas Hadin, the judgment of Hashem, and the fear went into the evil kingdom of Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom, v'nitan lohem rishus lachrivoi, and they were granted permission to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. V'hakol al yidei pegam ha-mishpot kanal. And all of this was brought about by improper and lack of mishpot. V'ze shekosev, and this is why there's a pasuk that says, mekoyim ha-mishpot shomo horesha, that the place of judgment, that's where there is evil, meaning Hainu Kanal, as we just said. Ki horesha bo bimkoim hamishpot, because the evil comes in place of, instead of mishpot. Ki machma shalayosu mishpot, because of the fact that the Jews did not practice proper justice, they didn't audit themselves regularly, upogmu b'mishpot, they messed up in the area of mishpot, alkei nislabesh hamishpot b'horosho Nebuchadnezzar v'chaverov. So what that caused was that the mishpot should be cloaked in Nebuchadnezzar horosho and his buddies, ubimkoim hamishpot shomo horesha, and instead of the mishpot, the Jews got Russia. They got an evil Nebuchadnezzar. He did the mishpot for them. Kihu bo bimkoim hamishpot, because he came in place of mishpot, meaning bekoyach v'harsho shekibel me'amishpot. He came with a power of attorney, like from Hashem, to judge the Jews. Kemoy habo b'harsho, like a person who comes with a power of attorney. Shehu bo bimkoim hatoivea, he is coming instead of the original litigant, instead of the original lender, whoever, who appoints somebody, he gives somebody a power of attorney to act on his behalf. Kein hu bo bimkoim hamishpot. So too, Nebuchadnezzar HaRosha came, instead, because the Jews were not willing to perform proper mishpot on themselves, they didn't audit themselves, Hashem said, I'll send a real auditor. Ki hamishpot nislabesh boy, because Hashem's midah of mishpot cloaked itself in this Russia, in Nebuchadnezzar HaRosha. Paragraph Zayin. V'ze shegozru arba taniyos al churban beis hamikdash. And with this, we'll also understand why the rabbis decreed four different fast days revolving around the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which are Tisha B'Av, Shivosar B'Tamuz, Asorah B'Teves, and Tzom Gedalia. All four are related to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Gam, and in addition to that, Noyagin Lehisabel Bein Hamtzorim. Many people have accustomed to fast during the 3 weeks. Some fast a half a day, or at least they abstain from certain foods, from meat and wine, during the 9 days, the different customs that we have. Veloimar chatzois, and even those people who usually do not wake up at midnight to say chatzois, during the 3 weeks, they say it at midday. Livkois al churban beis hamikdash, to cry, to try our best to cry over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. umesagfen atzmon mibosor v'yayin, and we abstain from eating meat and drinking wine, ukiyotze, and similar pleasures, kol echot kefi minhagoy, each community according to their customs, the Sfarim, the Ashkenazim, different groups. Ki kol hataneisim vasigufim, shahayireim oisin, hakol hu bebechinas mishpotanal. Because all types of fasts and self-imposed suffering that religious people impose upon themselves are all examples of mishpat. These are displays of judgment, that we're judging ourselves and finding ourselves guilty and deserving, worthy of suffering, worthy of imposing suffering upon ourselves. Sheshoiftem es atzmon koidem sheyovoi hadin shel malach ha-shalom, whereby we audit ourselves, we judge ourselves before the heavenly court will impose its judgment on us. Kedei levatel hadin shelamalo al yedei hamishpot sheshoifet es atzmoi kanal. And we do this in order to eliminate the heavenly judgment. By us judging ourselves down below here, we hope that this will eliminate the need for Hashem to judge us in any way. Because we know the Gemara says, Kishiyesh din lamato, ein din lamalo. When there's judgment down below on earth, there's no need for Hashem to judge us. Hashem says, I see they're doing a good job. They're auditing themselves. They're being careful about what they do. They're analyzing their mistakes and trying to correct them. We don't have to judge them again up here. No double jeopardy. Ki lefomim ha'odom roye she'ein dailoi bediburim ma shehu shoifet es atzmoi. Because sometimes a person who has his spiritus, a person who analyzes himself on a daily basis and reviews what he's doing, what he's not doing, what he's saying, what he's not saying, and trying to really improve himself, to analyze himself and audit himself and improve every single day, sometimes a person who does that finds that the words alone are not enough. Just saying, I'm sorry, Hashem, I wish I could be better, I wish I didn't do that, I wish I didn't say that, that's not enough. Vazai hu biatzmoi noisen mishpot alatzmoi. And sometimes in such cases, the person will impose upon himself a judgment, a punishment. Sheyisana, he will say, and because of this, Hashem, I choose to impose on myself a fast. I'm going to abstain from eating. I'm going to abstain from certain pleasures that I have. I'm not going to go swimming, whatever it is, certain things that a person enjoys. Kach v'kach, in certain ways, al ma'isav she'osa, because of the actions that I did, because of the things I did wrong, I feel I deserve punishment, and rather than wait for Hashem to punish me, I'll punish myself. I'll impose some suffering on myself as a correction, as a tikkun for what I did wrong. V'af al pi shebe'emes, bevadai ein ze maspik, afilu chelik mi'elef, keneged ma shepogam. And even though the truth is, whatever suffering we impose on ourselves, if a person says he's going to fast every Monday and Thursday, and he's not going to do this, and he's not going to do that, Rav Nosson says, that doesn't even suffice to be one thousandth of what a person should really be suffering based on the damage that they did. When a person goes against Hashem, when a person rebels against Hashem, they go against the Torah, that is so serious a thing that any suffering in the world that you would want to impose upon yourself is a joke compared to what you really deserve, chas v'shalom, for rebelling against the greatest king, the king of all kings. Ki kol yomeinu lo yaspiku lehisanois v'lizkoiv atzmeinu al pegam hirhur u'machshova zora achas. Because our entire life, if a person lives 100 years and he fasts for 100 years, that wouldn't be enough. Fasting or any suffering he would impose upon himself to repair, to fix one bad thought that a person had, where he thought illicit thoughts that a Jew is not allowed to think. Al mi lemi shemamin ba'oitzem hapegam. based on a person who believes how damaging this is, how terrible, terrible a sin this is, to think what one is not allowed to think. Hanoigea b'mokim shenoigea kanal. And it affects the highest worlds. It affects the throne of Hashem. It affects the whole Klal Yisrael, chas v'shalom. Sometimes it's like a person goes into a room, a computer room, and he sees buttons. And he starts pushing, pushes a button over here, and he waits to hear if anything crashes or any big noise, doesn't hear anything, pushes another button, pushes another button. And then somebody walks in and says, well, what's going on here? I just heard that a whole city was blown up, was destroyed, eliminated. Did you touch anything? He says, yeah, I saw that button, the orange, it looked innocent, so I just pressed it. Do you know what you did? Do you know what you just did? You just caused millions of people to die. Chas v'shalom baruchnius, that's the case. Person doesn't realize, we have no idea how serious is the damage and destruction in all the worlds, not in a world, in all the worlds, when a Jew, chas v'shalom, willingly allows himself to dwell on a bad thought, chas v'shalom. Mikolshkein v'kolshkein, mishaosa eza avera chas v'shalom. How much more so if a person actually did an avera, not just a bad thought, but he actually performed an action of sin. He broke Shabbos chas v'shalom, or something like that. Mikolshkein v'kolshkein, mishakilkel harbe moed chas v'shalom. And how much more so a person who did many sins, a person who did a lot of damage, kamotzui achshov badoirois halolu bavonoisen orabim, as is prevalent nowadays in our times. Rav Nosson Sal is writing this 150 years ago, saying during his time, there were many Jews who were doing many sins, chas v'shalom. So if that's the case, if the destruction and the damage that's caused by one sin, all the fasting in the world isn't enough to pay back for it, Vimkein lechoira, ma yoyilu loy eila hatanesim vasigufim neged masov. If that's the case, then what does all of this fasting help compared to the actions of a person? If you're telling me that one action requires a million fast, I can't live that long. I ain't going to live a million days to fast a million times. So, by the way, for those that don't know, today is a fast day. Today is Bahab. Today is the second Monday, where again, it's not something that all Jews accept upon themselves, but it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, that because of the fact that during these major holidays, Pesach and Sukkot, because of the fact that it is a happy holiday, a time of celebration, and people drink wine more than they would on a regular day, or people might act a little bit more frivolously than they do on a regular day, and that we might have committed a sin during those days, the rabbis gave us these days, a Monday, Thursday, Monday, after the holiday, and declared it as fast days in order to atone for any sin we might have committed in thought, speech, and action during those days. This should serve as a tikkun for that. So now again, based on what Rav Nosson Zal said earlier, that for the tiniest pigam, all the fasting in the world isn't enough, so then what's the purpose? Listen to this explanation, because this is very important. Ach afal pikein, yochoy liskois lekaporas avoinois al yodom. However, even though if you do the mathematics, it doesn't work out, one sin to 100 fasts, 100 fasts is not enough to make up for one sin, it's still, by a Jew imposing upon himself a little bit of suffering, a little bit of abstention in this world, that can bring about forgiveness for sins. Why? Ki ikar hatikun hu hamishpat. Because the main thing that repairs everything is mishpat, judgment, auditing a person spending time analyzing themselves, auditing themselves. Dehainu mashehu bi'atzmoi shoifet es atzmoi. The fact that the person cares enough about Hashem, has enough respect for Hashem, and enough self-respect to say, hey, I have to allow some time to analyze what I'm doing. I can't be a nut and just go on a treadmill all day running, doing things, and never bothering to analyze what am I doing. Lahavdil, it's like a person, we know this in business, this is a very well-known thing. You have people who start up a company and they're running and doing business and they're opening another store and another store and another store. And if they don't do an accounting, if they don't do an audit, they're buying and selling and buying and selling, and they could find out at the end of 6 months or a year, even though they see customers coming in every day, but they're doing great business, they find out that at the end of 6 months, they only lost $3 million. And if they go another 6 months, they'll lose another $8 million. Why? Because they didn't sit down and audit and do an accounting of what it costs, what the merchandise is costing, what the labor is costing, the taxes on the building, all the different things. And again, they forgot to check how much the workers are stealing, how much stealing is going, all the different things, which unless a person is really checking things carefully all the time, it's impossible to be able to see it. It's impossible to be able to be aware of mistakes like this. So the main thing in tshuva and in tikkun is the mishpat. The fact that the person realizes that there's a need, there's an important need to do an accounting, cheshbon hanefesh, to review, to analyze one's thoughts, words, actions between myself and Hashem, between myself and fellow man, on a regular basis. V'alkein, and therefore, me'achar shehu bi'atzmoy shofet es atzmoy, when a Jew takes the initiative to judge himself, to spend this quality time reviewing what I'm doing, ve'einoy mamtin al adin shel ma'ala, he doesn't wait for Hashem to judge him and for Hashem to send out the soldiers to beat him up and everything. That has the ability to erase completely any heavenly judgment against the person by the fact that the person imposed punishments on himself. He took the initiative to audit himself, to realize that he's been doing bad things, and to want to punish himself, to want to impose suffering upon himself. The main thing isn't the severity of the punishment. That's not what impresses Hashem. Big shot, you fasted 50 fasts. Who cares? Hashem can fast a million fasts. And Hashem has angels who can fast 10 billion fasts. That doesn't impress Hashem. What impresses Hashem is that a human being who's living in this world, which is one big mishmash, one big things running, everybody's running back and forth, nobody has time to think about them, to really think about what they're doing and everything. And this person pulls the emergency brake and says, stop, I'm not doing anything before I take stock, before I analyze where I'm going. I want to figure out, am I really giving Hashem nachas or not? Am I really fulfilling my obligations in this world or not? Or am I fooling myself? Am I fooling other people? Why am I doing things? Am I doing things for the right reasons, for the wrong reasons? That's what impresses Hashem. That's what Hashem has a lot of respect for. Me'achar shehu bi'atzmoy shefet es atzmoy. Because the Gemara says, ki k'sheyesh din lemato, Ein din lamala, because when there is judgment down below here on earth, even though we don't have the tools, we don't have the torture chambers that they have up there, the Gemara says one burn in Gehenna is 60 times worse than all the fire in the world combined here. So again, we don't have the tools here on earth to impose serious suffering on ourselves like that which a person would undergo chas v'shalom in Gehenna. But That's not what Hashem is impressed with. Hashem is impressed that look at this guy, look at this person. He's not waiting for us to judge him. He's judging himself. Look at that. V'ze bechinas ma she'odom yochol lehinotzel al yedei siguf oitaynis echod midinim koshim umorim harbe moid. And this is why the tzaddikim tell us, and the Torah tells us, that a Jew, by imposing one fast on himself, or taking upon himself one item of abstention or suffering, the person can save himself from lots and lots and lots of suffering in the world to come, in the future, in Gehenna. Vegam liskoi sal yodom l'chai yoylom haba. And not just save himself from suffering, but he can actually guarantee himself that he'll be zeicher to go to Gan Eden. He'll be zeicher to pleasure in the world to come by simply imposing upon himself a little bit of suffering in this world. Ki isa, because it's brought, shekol ha'yisurim sheboilam, that all the suffering in this world, im yiskapzu yachad al odom echod, kol ha'shiv mishon achas v'shon, if all of it will be put together in one box, for 70 years worth of all the suffering combined, a person having leprosy, cancer, Alzheimer's, put all the diseases in the world together, and poverty, extreme poverty, and freezing cold, put all of that together, 70 years of that doesn't compare enom neged rega achas, neged kviya achas shel genem, do not measure, will not be as painful as 1 second or one burn in Gehenna. Kol shkein, how much more so, sheshoiftim esodom shnei mosar chodesh begehenem, that the Gemara says a Rosha can be given a punishment of 12 months of that. Try that on for size. See how that fits. Kol shkein, and how much more so, sheyesh aveiros chas v'sholom, sheyordim aleihem ve'einam oilim. The Gemara says there are certain sins that a person can do where a person crosses a red line, where they go down to Gehenna and they don't come back up. No 12 months, no 12 years. The person could stay there for 12 billion years, chas v'shalom. Kol shkein, let's take it a step further. Sheyesh kama minei onshim koshim umorim yoiser mitzar shel Gehenna makosha kemuva besforim. There's suffering up in heaven. Hashem has other types of suffering that are much worse than Gehenna, as it's written in Sforim. V'yafal pikein, and with all of this being said and done, al hakol, regarding all of these types of suffering, moyil tshuva ba'olam hazeh. As long as a person is physically living still in this world, they can do tshuva. They can erase the punishment completely. They can erase they can block the heavenly court from judging them whatsoever. Because the prosecutor comes and says, Hashem, I want to tell you what this guy did. Hashem says, what are you telling me? I heard it already. I heard it. It's old news. Have a nice day. Go find some other bait. Go find somebody else to talk about. This guy, you can't prosecute him. Anything you want to tell me bad about him, I heard it already. I heard it from him. He told me. He did his own mishpat. V'ikar hatshuva, hubechinas hamishpat hanal. And again, the real most important aspect of tshuva is this mishpat, this self-analysis, this self-audit. K'al yedei she'odom mizboidei beinoi levein koinoi. Because by a person spending quality time alone with Hashem, sitting in front of Hashem, like they say the Chofetz Chaim and all the tzaddikim and all the Breslev Hasidim are supposed to do, to spend quality time on a daily basis alone with Hashem, no phones, no nothing, no totally disconnecting from everything in the materialistic world, and analyzing myself, looking into myself, and looking into my actions, my thoughts, my words, my actions, how I interact with people, how I interact with Hashem, what I'm doing, what I'm not doing. That's a major part of his splitedness. That's a major part of that quality time that a person spends alone. And verbalizing it, talking about it. Why did I do this? Rabbi Nazal told one of his students to speak to every organ of his body, to speak to his eyes. What are you doing, guys? You're going to get us into Gehenna. You're going to be fried and then broiled and then boiled and then deep-freezed and then refried if you keep doing this stuff, if you keep looking where you're not supposed to, Rahman al-Sam. And this student at first said, it's not working. Rabbi Nazar said, just keep at it. Then afterwards, he got to a level where when he would talk to his body, he would almost faint. He would almost, he could faint just from, because the body was so sensitive to hearing the words of Mussar. Every organ of his body, the neshama is in every part of the body. L'havdol, you learn in biology, the nervous system, that there are wires that go from the brain to the toe. When somebody steps on your toe, slams on your toe, and you scream, ouch, why? Because the toe is wired to the brain. And when you step on the toe, that wire sends a message up to the brain saying, ouch! And the brain sends back down a message, pull out of there, get your toe out of there, you know. So here also, the neshama is found in every organ of the body. And a person can talk to the neshama. A person can talk to his own neshama. He can talk to his fingers. He can talk to his eyes, to his ears. That's one way of doing it. Actually speaking to the organs. But a person can speak to the whole body. There's so many stories that are told in the world about the Chofetz Chaim that people overheard him doing his mishpat, where it says, Yisrael Meir, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? What do you think? You think you're going to get away with it? You think Hashem doesn't see what you're doing? He would talk to himself, again, in the presence of Hashem like this, doing this real, real serious audit on a daily basis. K'alidei she'odon misboidei beinoi levein koinoi. And the person judges himself regarding every single thing that he did. And through this, he motivates himself and he inspires himself. It's called self. They have, now I don't know if it's so popular now, but 30, 40 years ago, the in thing was self-help. Self-help books, all about self-help, helping yourself. Because they realize instead of supporting the psychiatrists and psychologists and therapists, instead of giving away all your money to them, just learn how to help yourself. And here Rabbeinu Zal is talking about the ultimate in self-help. A person, instead of going to all of these other people to tell you what's wrong with you, close the door in a room, look in a mirror, look inside yourself, and you should be able, you have the ability to tell yourself what's wrong with you, to think carefully about what you did and what you didn't do, and to be able to come to a realization of what you're doing wrong. And the Gemara tells us when there's judgment down below on earth, then there will be no judgment up in heaven against that person. Ubifrat, especially, if the person takes this seriously enough to the point where he actually punishes himself, he actually makes a decision that, hey buddy, you're out of line, you deserve to skip a meal now. You deserve no lunch. No lunch for you today. Whereby the person imposes upon himself to fast, or to abstain from other pleasures. Afal pi she'enoy oile leklum neged ma'asav kanal, even though on one hand, it's a joke, it's nothing compared, that suffering is nothing compared to what this person deserves. If we Google him up, if we check his records up in heaven, we're going to find it's going to say there are 12 billion fasts, that based on what this guy has done, he's got to fast for the next 12 billion years. So what's this one fast going to help? What's this one fast going to do? Afal pikein, meyacha shehu bi'atzmoy oise hadin bi'atzmoy. The fact that he didn't wait for somebody else to tell him, the fact that he imposed this on himself, al yidei zeh mevatel mimenu kol hadinim lamala. This has the ability to eliminate completely all heavenly judgment against that person. Even though he did thousands and tens of thousands of things worse and more than the little tiny punishment that he imposed upon himself, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Afal pikein mevatel kulam al yedei hamishpoit sheloi sheshoif tesasunel. Even though it doesn't add up, the guy gave a dollar. The guy says, "Here's a dollar." You know. A dollar, you owe 12, tells the IRS agent, you know what, I guess you're right. Could be I didn't pay my taxes for the past 30 years. Here you go, I have $3. I'm like, here you go. Take the $3, and I'm really sorry about it. They say, $3? We're going to take your pants, your house. We're going to take all your kids' homes. We're going to take everything you ever owned, anything, you know? So Rav Nosson says here also, this person has a record in heaven where this person owes so much, and still it doesn't matter. Ki kishayesh din lamata, ein din lamala. Because the Gemara says, even though it doesn't add up, this is an overriding factor. The overriding factor is the fact that you did not wait to get caught by the police. You didn't wait to get taken to court, taken to trial. You imposed your own trial. You were your own judge and prosecution, and you punished yourself. You're willing to show such sincerity and such respect for Hashem that you didn't wait for somebody else to punish you. That eliminates all heavenly judgment from that person. V'ze b'chinas ha-ta'aneisim v'ho'aveilus she'mesak v'natzmon b'ta'aniyois u'b'miniyois bosor v'yayin u'rechitza. And this will explain the different fast days that the rabbis have imposed, where we fast, we show certain signs of mourning, we impose certain suffering upon ourselves, we abstain from meat and wine, we don't bathe, b'shvil churban beis hamikdash. All of this because of our role, because of my part in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Gemara says, any person during whose time the Beis HaMikdash was not built, that's an indication that if the Beis HaMikdash were standing now, Hashem would burn it down. So the fact that the Beis HaMikdash wasn't built yesterday shows that we who were around yesterday deserve to have the Beis HaMikdash. If the Beis HaMikdash were standing, it would have been destroyed yesterday thanks to me. Thanks to me and every one of us, Rachmana Litzlan. So we need to know. We're not fasting because of what they did thousands of years ago. We're fasting because, number one, we might have been part of that day. We could have been around. Our souls could have been present in Gilgulim at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And even if not, still, again, the Gemara says that if during my time the Beis HaMikdash isn't built, the implication is that were it standing, Hashem would destroy it, burn it down, thanks to all the good things I'm doing. And I'm not, Rachmana Litzlan. Ki churban Beis HaMikdash hu bishvil pegam hamishpot kanal. Because as we showed earlier, the Torah says in many different psukim that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of a lack of and a deficiency and defectiveness in mishpat, lack of judgment, lack of proper judgment. Al kein, onu oisim achshav tshuva. Therefore, we try now to repent, u'mesaknin zois, and to fix that, v'onu oisim mishpat bi'atzmenu, by imposing judgment on ourselves. Umisanin, and we fast, umisakven atzmon, and we take upon ourselves suffering, kidei levatel hadin shelamala, in order to eliminate the heavenly punishment. Before we continue, just to insert, Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman said that as a child, he went as far as he possibly could in imposing suffering on himself, fasting and everything, and he came to the conclusion that as much as a person can accomplish by fasting and physical suffering, they can accomplish the same results better, more quickly, through hispoidus. Again, this mishpat, this act of judging oneself and speaking to Hashem, really talking it out with Hashem, and apologizing to Hashem for all the wrongdoings, and begging Hashem for help, for divine assistance, not to repeat those sins, begging and crying, that mishpat, that hispoidus, is more powerful than fasting and physical suffering. And it has no side effects. Rabbeinu Zal said that through all the physical suffering he imposed on his body, he broke his body. And Rabbeinu Zal said he came to the realization that there's a better way. The better way is this serious hispoidus, a commitment to have this quality time alone with Hashem every single day, which revolves especially around this issue of mishpat, that I'm going into the courtroom. Which courtroom? the courtroom that I am imposing for myself. I have a courtroom, my private office that I go into every day where I speak to Hashem alone, where I put the court in session. I put the judge in the chair and everything. I'm sitting in front of Hashem, and I don't need anybody to tell. I'm telling myself what I did wrong. I am reviewing all of my actions seriously and coming to the realization of what I did wrong, what I need to repair. Paragraph Ches, Ki Iker Tikun Hatainis Hu HaMishpat. Because the most important aspect of repair that's accomplished by fasting is the Mishpat, the judgment, the justice. Dahainu, which means Sheyachshoiv Derochov, that during a fast day, a person thinks, they stop to think of what everything that they're doing. And the person judges, they audit themselves regarding everything they're doing, how they're dealing with their wife and kids, how they're dealing with their neighbor, how they're dealing with Hashem, how they get up in the morning, how they go to sleep at night. As the Pasuk says, Haloi zet soim. Isn't this a fast? Evchoreu pateach chartzubois resha. I will use it to choose to open up all the books like that describe all the bad things I'm doing. Hater agudois moite. To open up, again, all the different binders and everything that will show me the things I'm doing wrong. The main purpose of a fast day and fasting is to slam on the brakes, to say stop. I'm not going to spend 40 minutes on breakfast today. I'm not going to spend an hour on. So what am I going to do? I'll go play ball. I'll go to sleep. That's what it's all about? No, it's about using that time that you would normally use for breakfast, lunch, supper, and using that time for self-introspection, for analyzing yourself. V'liftoyach ulenatek kol hakshorim v'hachartzubois shel resha hatomen bekirboi. And to open up, to tear open all the knots and everything of evil that the person is knotted up, all the different connections he's made with the Yetzirah. He's attached himself to the Yetzirah with every different kind of sin, to tear open all of those knots, to untie all of those knots. Shezehu ikar bechinas ha-mishpat anal. That's what mishpat is really all about. Sheyishpoit es atzmoy al kol dovor kanal. For the person to judge himself over every single thing. V'alkein hoyu noyagim b'yoyim ha-taynes loymar divrei kibush shalom. And this is why the Gemara tells us, what did they do during the time of the Gemara on a fast day? The rabbis would give special classes where they would give mussar to the people. On fast days, that would be a day that people would come to the rabbis to hear. The rabbis would do an audit on the people and the city. Let's look at ourselves. What are we doing? How much charity are we giving? How much charity? How many poor people do we have in our midst that need help who we're ignoring? We're totally ignoring, we're making believe we don't see. We're making believe we don't know, chas v'shalom. Ula ayin, ula hashgiach, l'sakein kol hakilkulim shebuir. They would analyze and study and correct everything that was wrong in the city, all the obligations that the city has, that the municipality has, to take care of its citizens that it's not doing. Ula chapes, and to analyze, to search, if there are sins being committed in the city, to study it, to figure it, to see how we're going to fix it, how we're going to put a stop to it. As Rashi points out in Melachim, Aleph, chapter 21, by the story of Novois, that there was a certain person who did something wrong, and there was a Hashem imposed major punishment, and they all got together and said, whoa, one second. Let's figure out what went wrong here. Why is Hashem punishing? Why is Hashem doing this? Ki ze iker tikun hatainis. Because this is really what a fast day is all about in Judaism. This is what the fast is supposed to accomplish. It's not a weight loss thing. It's not a Weight Watchers thing. It's all about mishpat. It's all about audit, justice, judgment, self-help, self-judgment. And this is what each and every single Jew is required to do, not just on a fast day, on a daily basis. Especially those days that were declared as fast days by rabbis, this is one of the main focuses. Lishpoit esatzmoy al kol dovor, to analyze ourselves and judge ourselves regarding everything we're doing. Shezeh ikar tikun hatainis. This is the main purpose, and this is the main goal and objective of a fast day. What are we trying to accomplish? We're trying to accomplish this ability to analyze that each and every Jew should be able to audit himself. He doesn't need a babysitter. He doesn't need a therapist and a larabist, all of this nonsense and everything. A person can do it for themselves if they follow the advice of Rabbeinu Zal. If they follow this incredible, incredible Eitzah of Hispoidus and Mishpat, person can avoid the ADD and AQR, all of this nonsense and everything. People would just stop to think about what they're giving their kids, the wires, the games that they're giving their kids with violence and all of this stuff, how they're the ones inflicting ADD. Of course the kid can't sit still. He's used to vibrating. He only knows how to vibrate. He doesn't know how to hold, of course he can't hold a fork straight. He's used to those the machine guns, blowing up boats and killing people and slicing them up into pieces. Why would you think otherwise? You think a kid like that can sit in a chair for 20 minutes and hear a teacher talking? What, are you nuts? Interesting, related to today, Sfiras HaOmer. Today we're in the middle of the counting of the Omer. Today is 27 days, which are 3 weeks and 6 days in the Omer. The Breslov HaChassidim were known to make a major production out of counting the Omer. That sometimes counting the Omer can take 15, in most shuls, it takes about 15 seconds. It's just like Ashiyotzar. You come out of the bathroom, Ashiyotzar, 7 days, have a nice day, Hashem. See you later, see you tomorrow. But in Breslov, it's not that. Sfiras HaOmer is a time of Mishpat. We were in Egypt, we were in a cesspool, we were in super filth. Hashem did a rescue mission, he sent a commando in, Moshe Rabbeinu, to tear us out of the filth, to grab us and yank us out of there, but our clothes is still muddy and filthy and everything, and there's a wedding that's going to take place in 49 days. On the 50th day, there's a wedding ceremony, and you can't come to the wedding covered in mud and filth. So we have 49 days to clean up our act, to try to do tshuva, to repair. That's what Sfiras HaOmer is really all about. It's a time for tshuva, repentance. Just like a woman purifies herself for her husband, Shiva Nekiyim, 7 days of purification. So too, we're supposed to be purifying ourselves during these 7 weeks. One of the great Breslov HaChassidim who lived, he passed away about 25 years ago. His name was Reb Tzvi Aryeh Lippel. Some people called him Reb Hirsch Leib Lippel. That's the Yiddish for it. Who was originally from Russia, and he walked from Russia to Israel. He wanted to come so desperately. It took him 12 years, a whole lot to say about who this person was. Rav Rosenfeld said about this person that if he would have lived during the time of the Tanoim, the rabbis of the Gemara, he would have been a celebrity then. He would have been special then. In their generation, he would have been somebody very special. This person, when he was counting the Omer, he would count Sfira. So one of the, in counting the, after we count the Omer, we say certain paragraphs. One of the paragraphs that we say is Ona B'choyach, special, the 42 words, 42 names of Hashem, name of 42. And in there are two words, Tatir Tzerura, where Reb Nachman Burstein, Zichron Levracha, one of his close friends and students, like, said that he once heard him screaming at Sfiras HaOmer these words, Tatir Tzerura, for about an hour and a half. He was in park in Tatir Tzerura, just again and again, Tatir Tzerura. So the next day, or the next opportunity he had, he finally, he went over to him, and said, I have to ask you a question. What's Tatir Tzrura? What's in there that you were able to dwell on that for an hour and a half, to just on those two words? Tatir Tzrura means open up the knots, untie the knots. So he said, what do you mean? That's the whole story of life. The Yetzer Hara ties us up in knots. He attaches us to food. He attaches us to the materialistic world. He ties us up to all kinds of nonsense. And a person gets so involved and tied up in that, that they have no time for the neshama, no time, no brain power, no energy. How could you devote time to learning if you're watching TV 6 hours a day and you're eating and you're drinking? These two words really tell it all. Tatir Tzrura, Hashem, untie the knots. Get me untied from this guy who's constantly trying to tie me up and everything. And this is what Rav Nosson Zal just spoke about here. He quoted the pasuk earlier, Pateach Chartzubois Resha, open up the Chartzubois Resha, Hater Agudois Mota, open up all of these knots that the Yetzer Hara ties us up into, you know, to get us to be in his pocket, Chas V'Shalom. We should be Zeicha to take advantage of the opportunity that we have during these 49 days, which is so special. When we say those prayers, if possible, to know what we're saying, to study what we're saying, to know what those words are, to be able to put your heart into it. But even if not, there's a story about a Ger Tzedek, a convert, who became a Kuruv to Breslov in Uman. And shortly after his conversion, when he hadn't learned that much yet, he hadn't studied that much yet, when he would come to Ahava Rabba, Ahava Soilam, before Kriya Shema, when he would come to that paragraph of prayer, he cried. They saw him crying, mamish crying a lot. So somebody got curious once. They went over to him, because they knew that he didn't know what the words mean. They didn't have art scroll in those days. They didn't have Russian booga booga art scroll, you know, to tell you what these words mean. And they knew the guy doesn't know what he's, or what's he crying about? What's, you know? So somebody went over to him and said, can you tell me, you know, honestly, I see you crying, especially at this paragraph. Is it because you see some deep meaning in this part that you? He said, no, to be honest, I don't know what the words mean. But I watched Rabbi Avraham Barab Nachman. I watched him daven, and I saw that when it comes to this paragraph, he really puts his whole heart into it. So I know that there must be some special stuff here. So this is where I cry. This is where I put my whole heart into it when I'm reading these words, because I know there's all kinds of serious stuff here. So sometimes, even if a person doesn't know what the words mean, but they have emunas chachamim, they watch a tzaddik, and they see that tzaddik, when it comes to this, he knows what to do. The person watches the tzaddik, and they could do the same thing as the tzaddik, and they could be similar to the tzaddik. And their tefillah can score a home run like the tefillah of a tzaddik because of that tmimus, because of that sincerity. We should be zeicha. We'll hold it over here.